Good morning. I would like to show a video that I saw the other day. So we're going to darken the auditorium, and the video will play twice. It is of three little boys who have been caught. We're going to, at this time, turn off the lights and play the video.
So you went and got a marker. You did it for why?
Because we wanted to be bad guys. And it was sorry. Are you mad at us?
I mean, I'm pretty upset.
Is my daddy gonna be mad too?
Who knows?
Maybe we should think about what we've done.
You think thinking about what you've done is going to take away the marker all over your chest?
If we take a bus, it will. Maybe I will, and David will when I get done, and Aiden will.
You are officially never allowed to use a marker again.
Yeah, but I need to draw.
Well, try paper next time.
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy, can you cut those lights up at the top? These lights here, the stage lights. We're going to play that one more time. I want you to listen to what he has to say. Can you play that one more time?
So you went and got a marker.
God, we wanted to be God, that's why we did it.
You did it for why?
Because we wanted to be bad guys. And it was sorry. Are you mad at us?
I mean, I'm pretty upset.
Is my daddy gonna be mad too?
Who knows?
Maybe we should think about what we've done.
You think thinking about what you've done is going to take away the marker all over your chest?
If we take a bus, it will. Maybe I will, and David will when I get done, and Aiden will.
You are officially never allowed to use a marker again.
Yeah, but I need to draw.
Well, try paper next time.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we'll have the lights back on. These three little boys, they had been caught with their marker, marked all over them. And what do? They offer up little excuses. The little boy dreaded facing his father. Is my daddy going to be mad? He knew there was going to be consequences. And the little boy creates little excuses. The first excuse, we just wanted to be bad guys. We just wanted to play the bad guys. The second excuse, I can take a bath. And the third is, I just wanted to draw. Do you remember the David Letterman show? It was the late night show with David Letterman. He was mostly known for the top 10. He would have a top 10 list. Have you ever thought of the top 10 excuses in the Bible? Let's look at some excuses that have been offered in the Bible. Number 10, Genesis 3:13, the snake made me do it. Number 9 of little excuses is Genesis chapter 3:12, where Adam says, the woman you gave me made me do it. Number 8 of little excuses is Esau. I would have died had I not eaten that red stuff. Number seven of little excuses, naming. You know, the rivers back home are way cleaner than over here in Israel. They're filthy. Number six, Gideon. I mean, you know, my family's not much to speak of. I mean, I don't know, Lord. My family's not much to speak of. Number five, Lord, I just don't speak too good. Can you find somebody else? Number four of little excuses. You know, we just saved a few of the animals so we could sacrifice them to the Lord. Now, you were supposed to kill all animals, but we made an excuse. We just saved a few of them. Little excuses number three, Jeremiah. I'm too young. I can't do that. I'm too young. Number two, we don't even know who this is. A person Jesus had called. I can't come to the great feast. You know, I bought some oxen, so I can't come to the banquet. I gotta go hang out with my cows. It's a great excuse. But the number one little excuse offered, it's gotta be Aaron. You know, Moses, I just threw some gold into the fire and out came this calf to worship. Little excuses. The time of wandering in the wilderness lasted 40 years. And in the first 3 months, the children of Israel had left Egypt and they went to Horeb in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. And Horeb is another name for that region around Mount Sinai. And they remained camped there for about 2 years. And if you look kind of at a chapter summary of this, you got chapter 19, the arrival of Sinai. Chapter 20, the Ten Commandments are given. Chapter 21 and 23, there's various social laws, such as Sabbaths and festivals are given. Chapter 24, Israel says we're going to obey. We have the sign of the Sabbath. But when you get to chapter 32 is where you have the golden calf excuse. Now, for centuries, explorers have and pilgrims have sought out, where is this location of Mount Sinai? To this day, several sites have been kind of chosen, thought of, but archaeologists have not narrowed it down to the exact area. The Bible does give us some general clues and location about Mount Sinai. We do know it was outside of Egypt because it says in Exodus chapter 19:1, the Israelites came to Mount Sinai after they had left Egypt. The scripture also indicates that it was not in Midian. This is based on Moses' Midianite in-laws who left Sinai and returned to their own land. But most people say the traditional site of Mount Sinai is in the south central part of the Sinai Peninsula. And the mount that they've identified is about 7,500 feet above sea level. When we read this account in Exodus chapter 32, 1 through 4, we will read it as it says this. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off your rings of gold that are in your ears for your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me." So all the people took off their rings of gold that were on their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold in their hand and fashioned it, engraving tools, and made it a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Now, if we skip up to verse 7 and 8, And the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them, and they have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who have brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And then moving on to verse 21 through 24. So Moses goes down and Moses says to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord burn hot. You know, the people, they are set on evil. For they have said to me, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this, Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So I said to them, let any who have gold take it off. So they gave it to me. I threw it in the fire, and poof, out came a what? A calf. Aaron actually offers two excuses. He said, you know, these people, they're set on evil. But the whopper is, we just had a fire. I mean, we threw some gold in it, and the next thing we know, out popped this calf. This is an unrealistic excuse. Absolutely unrealistic. Who can believe that? You have a fire and throw some gold in it, and the next thing you know, this perfectly formed golden calf pops out. Imagine some teenagers out on the Neches River. They get pulled over by the game warden and the police and smell a little bit of alcohol. The game warden police officer says, what do you got in that ice chest? They open it up. It's full of beer. Teenagers are like, oh, hey, last time we looked in there, it was nothing but Dr. Pepper. We opened up and poof, there's beer in there. You think that police officer is going to believe that? You think the judge is going to believe that? It's about as unrealistic as the excuse that Aaron made of, we just threw the gold in the fire, and the next thing we know, this calf popped out. What's a takeaway from this video that we watched over little excuses? Did you notice what the little boy said? Marker all over him. He said, we can what? We can take a bath. Even small children understand that you can't be clean unless you take a bath. Through each and every one of us, sin has marked us. It's marked all over you and me. And we must take a bath before we stand in front of the judge. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And when he says that, Paul says that, those fingers come right out. And they tap us. Such are some of us. But you were washed. You were justified. You were sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. This little boy lays down a pretty good biblical principle. We have to be washed. Takeaway number two, we will all stand in front of the judgment seat. Every one of us. Hebrews 9:27. I hear preachers say from time to time, this is my favorite verse in the Bible. And I don't know if I have a favorite verse in the Bible, but this is a verse that my grandfather often quoted. And just as is appointed for a man to die once, after that comes the what? It comes the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Prayers offered up on the day of judgment will not be heard. Do you see little David over here in the red? The entire time he's in what? He's in prayer. Praying. Many are going to look like little David with their hands folded in prayer. But what does Jesus say about that? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Done many. We've done many great things. Then I, who's I? Then I, the Lord, will declare to them, I never knew you. You practice lawlessness. You did these great things in your own eyes, but you did not follow what I told you. It's extremely similar to what happened in the days of Noah's Ark. When the doors were closed and the rain began to fall, what happened? It doesn't matter if you look like little David. The doors were what? Closed. We have this false perception of judgment. We mock it. We joke about it. We talk about standing in line for judgment. We act as though Jesus is our best friend. And he's not the judge. You see it all the time. Me, Lord? I mean, I thought you and I. You're going to stand in front of him. Every one of us will. Your mom and dad will stand in front of them. Your children, your grandchildren, all of us. And we cannot offer him what? Excuses. Do you know why? Because you're going to be without excuse. When Paul opens up his book to the Romans, as he begins to talk in chapter 1, he really addresses the Gentiles. And when we get to Romans chapter 1, verse 20, he says, for the invisible attributes, namely the eternal power and the divine nature, has been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are what? They are without excuse when they stand in front of me. Without. Being then God's offspring in Acts chapter 17, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver. What did the Israelites do? They took off their gold from their ears and their rings and their necks, and they fashioned what? A golden calf. But then God's offspring, being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone or an image formed by the art or imagination of man, which is exactly what Aaron did. Exactly. And he offered an excuse. I don't know. I mean, it just popped out. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to what? Today is the day. You have the opportunity. The Noah's Ark doors are not closed yet for you. He's telling you, you have the opportunity. Now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Because he has what? He has fixed the day on which he will judge the world. And what's his judgment going to be? It's going to be in righteousness. He's going to know the truth. You will not be able to fool him. I will not be able to fool him. I cannot stand in front of the creator of the world and offer excuses. He's given you this opportunity to come and be bathed. The little boy, he says, well, maybe if we think on this, maybe we should think what we did. And yes, that's true. We need to think about the marker that's all over us. But until you've taken a bath, you're never going to be clean. And once you're washed, you will have the opportunity to stand in front of the Lord in a white robe. Clean. Unmarked. And undefiled. Because his robe is bloody. For you. If you have a need, please come forward as we stand and sing.